Romans chapter 6. I want to read this entire chapter, and as we read it, I want you to be thinking about a couple things and kind of engage your mind, search the scriptures as I read it aloud. But we're going to talk tonight about how to live in the power of the resurrection. And so in every single one of us, there is great potential for good and great potential for godliness and holiness. But we must also understand that in every single Christian, the old man still lurks. And so that's what we're going to talk about. When you live with the new man, and you live in the power available to the new man, you live a supernatural existence. And so we're going to talk about that. Why do we have the new man? And what is available to us? And how can we live in the power of the resurrection? Let's all stand, please. I'm going to read all 23 verses of this chapter, beginning in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What a wonderful phrase there, newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Well, what important statements. I want to stop and talk about all this. Well, think about this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Sounds like we kind of choose which master we're going to. Sounds like there's some choices involved. Sounds like we have two very distinct options here, two different ways we can live out our Christian life. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free, watch this, free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things wherein ye are now ashamed? In other words, what did that produce? How'd that go? Okay, watch this. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, I'm gonna need help tonight. Lord, there's a lot of things that are kind of interconnected here, and And Lord, we've talked about the resurrection. We've focused on the resurrection. Lord, we've imagined the resurrection. We've sung about the resurrection. We've preached about the resurrection. Oh, it'd be a shame if we went home Easter night still servants of sin, when there is so much made available to us because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us and help, Lord, me to rightly divide the word of God. Lord, I want to explain it carefully. There are some, Lord, potential pitfalls in this chapter where we can go off into false doctrine. So help me to rightly divide the word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, I would ask for your attention because I promise you, if you really hone in, there's help available. And you're going to learn some things. And this isn't a young person's message. This is for each and every one of us. Everybody in here can be helped. Everybody in here that is saved, I'm telling you, there is a way to live every day of your life in the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this, folks. We ought to be different because we're saved. Amen. This whole idea that, eternal security. This is the finger that's pointed towards Baptists. You believe in eternal security. You believe once saved, always saved. And so therefore, you know, you can be saved and go on and do anything you want to do. And you know what God says twice in this chapter to that? God forbid. God forbid. You know what? God didn't save you and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and give you the earnest of salvation, His own Holy Spirit. He didn't do all of these things so we could walk around and make a fool of ourselves and ashamed of the name of Christ. Out of gratitude to what God has done, we should live every day of our life living in that new man and in the power of the resurrection. Now, I'm going to have your mind on purpose, and that means you have to focus on purpose as I lay some groundwork. Listen very carefully. How do you live in the power of the resurrection? Now, understand this first of all, and this is something you have to get. If you are saved, there are two yous. There are two yous. Every single one of you, there is inside of you and inside of me, both the old man and the new man. So there's two yous. Preacher, it just seems like there's a battle I'm fighting all the time inside of me. I mean, there's days that I seem to do good and there's days that I do lousy. Well, let's flip over a chapter to Romans chapter 7. I don't want you to feel alone. I'm going to tell you that one of the men that we pointed to is one of the greatest Christians of the New Testament fought the same battle that you're fighting today. And he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, under inspiration, Romans 7, 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now, if you've never had those moments of frustration in your Christian life, you're not being honest. I mean, you know what? You make a decision, make a determination. I'm going to turn the corner on this. I'm going to get victory on this. And then you sit with your hand in your head some night, shaking your head, saying, what in the world is wrong with me? I mean, I made a decision. I didn't want to do this. I didn't plan to do this. That's not the desires of my heart. And yet, how come I'm so frustrated in this? By the way, he continues, verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good, but then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, and by the way, we're talking about the old man here, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. In other words, I have the desire. It's inside of me. I want to do right. It's just hard for me to figure out how to always do it. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. We're not talking about somebody that wants to do bad and does it, and doesn't want to do good and doesn't do it. We're talking about somebody who wants to do good and struggles in doing it and doesn't want to do bad. And sometimes, again, with our hands in our heads, say, Lord, what's wrong with me? There's a problem. Why can't I get victory in this area of my life? Hey, aren't you glad that the Apostle Paul, God let him be this transparent so that we could realize, you know what, I'm not alone and I'm not the only one that's ever faced this. And by the way, folks, this isn't a surrender chapter. This is a declaration of victory we're going to have at the end. And God can help you and you can overcome. And so let's go on. Verse number 20, now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And when it talks about that, it's talking again, the old Adamic nature, the old man. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And here's the frustration. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Here's the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer, imperative statement, period at the end. Here's the question, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Here's the answer, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wonder what Jesus did that helps us be able to win this thing. Wonder what it is. We're going to go back to Romans 6 and we're going to highlight what it is. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now we're going to go back to Romans 6 and stay with me here. Now let me say this again. Understand, if you are saved, there are two yous. That means this, and I name them, and it would be good for you to name them. Okay, there's the old Jerry Ross, and there's the new Jerry Ross. And by the way, I view these people inside of me as two very separate and distinct people. And that's going to help you right there. I could tell you some stories about the old Jerry Ross. I'm going to explain some things about the old Jerry Ross. I'm going to tell you that there's been times in my life that the old Jerry Ross pretty much ran the show. But I'm going to tell you something. They weren't good years. And there was no joy. And there was no peace. And you know what? When I look back at everything that I accomplished during that stretch, nothing for eternity. Are you listening to me? Now, you know what? The old, you know, I don't care. You got to say, there's an old Dave Liffick and a new Dave Liffick. There's an old Roger Young and a new Roger Young. There's an old Clarence Weddle and a new Clarence Weddle. And you know what? You can say it out loud about yourself. Listen, folks, you ought to acknowledge it. Listen, denying it's not helping. Pretending it's not true, ignoring it. You've got to, I see in my mind two very different and distinct people in my life. And you know what? I have the old Jerry Ross and I have the new Jerry Ross. Now, explain to me about this old man. What do you talk about? I'm talking about that phrase, the old man or your old man, means the man of our old nature. Listen, our pre-salvation self, our corrupt human nature, our inborn bent towards wrong and tendency towards evil. This old man was controlled by Satan, dominated by sin, and enslaved to work unrighteousness. And that's who lives inside of you, and that's who lives inside of me. All right, now stay with me. When we were saved, something very glorious happened. Okay? That which born of the Spirit, capital S is Spirit. And we were born again. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God moved in and did a miracle in our lives and created in us a new person, made us a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's exciting. Now, guess what? That means that I don't have to be controlled by Satan. I don't have to be dominated by sin. And I don't have to be enslaved to work unrighteousness. I don't have to be. By the way, I may choose to be, but I don't have to be. Okay? See, when we are saved, our spirit was reborn. God purchased us from Satan's control. He imparted to us the Holy Spirit. He reborn our spirit and gave us a new man with a new nature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, watch this. Preacher, how does this tie in to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How does this tie in to the death on the cross, the burial, and the resurrection? Now, stay with me because this is where I think it's going to start getting good and you're going to get some understanding here. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verse number two. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any more therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, this is very interesting. Positionally, in the eyes of God, when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, even though I wasn't born yet, God chose to nail the old Jerry Ross on the same cross that he nailed his own son. And you know what? He crucified him. And you know what? When I'm saved, guess what? That old man is crucified. God reckons him positionally as being dead. Now listen to me, folks. If God can see him as being dead, he can help us as seeing him as being dead. And by the way, if God wanted him dead, we ought to want him dead. Okay, so what he said is positionally, I've already crucified the old man. Practically, every day of your life, you need to do the same thing. And this is exciting to me because, see, all of a sudden that frustration in Romans chapter 7, there's a glimmer of hope. I mean, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me of the body of death? I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because when he was crucified, the old man was crucified. And you know what? When he was buried, that old man was buried. And you know what, folks? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ that came out of that tomb was not the same body that was put in that tomb. There was a glorified change in that body. Now, stay with me because I want to teach you some things. Listen to me. Watch this. When Jesus died on the cross, the old man was crucified with him. Positionally, this allows the new man to do three things. It gives some power to that new man. Preacher, that old man seems like it's stronger. Well, you've got more power than you think in that new man. It positionally, this allows the new man to do three things. You have, and I have, the ability, if we want to crucify that old man. We can crucify him. And by the way, you ought to have a crucifixion every single day of your life. He has a way of wanting to come back to life. You got to reckon him dead every day. Crucify the old man, refuse to become the servant of sin, and declare yourself free from sin. All of these things is found in this portion of Scripture. Now, that means I've got two people living inside of me, the old Jerry Ross and the new Jerry Ross. God wants the old Jerry Ross dead. Positionally, he is in the eyes of God. Practically, I still am fighting him every day of my life. But because of the power of the resurrection, the new man, it's like comparing the glorified body to the human body. Okay, listen, folks, there's a way to live in a glorified state, in a resurrected state. The new man is stronger than the old man. It is. And you know what? If you decide to crucify, what I'm saying is that new man can wrestle down that old man with the help of God and take some nails and a hammer and nail that thing to the cross and say, you're dead today. You're dead today. Okay? I'm not interested in what you have to say. I'm not interested in what you want. I'm not interested in what desires you have. I'm not interested in what you want to watch on TV or listen to the radio. I'm not interested in who you want to hang around with. You know what? You have no say in my life. I'm reckoning myself dead unto you and therefore dead unto sin. And you know what? I'm going to put myself as a servant under the service of righteousness and holiness, and with the help of God, do the best I can to live for the Lord Jesus Christ today. Now, folks, listen to me. You're going to have a crucifixion every day. You're going to have to deal with this thing on a regular basis because that old man has a way of wanting to come back to life, okay? When Jesus died on the cross, the old man was crucified with him, but you know what? You can crucify that old man. You can refuse to become the servant of sin. You can declare yourself freed from sin. When Jesus rose from the dead, our new man rose with him. Now watch this. I want to read this again because this is illustrated by baptism. When I'm explaining baptism to somebody, I explain it. Listen, I do a lot better job, and I think in the last several years, I've taken a lot more serious approach to talking to people about the meaning of baptism than maybe I did early on in my Christian life. You know what? It's the first step of obedience. But it also is not something that ought to be done flippantly. Because notice what it says here, to know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that we want to associate ourselves with that. But watch this. According to this verse, it's also a picture of something else. It's a picture, a public picture, a public declaration of our desire to bury that old man and put him in the grave and leave him dead and let that new man rise up to walk in newness of life. And you know what? You can do that. Are you talking about sinless perfection? Let me make this very, very plain. There is no such thing on this earth in the boundaries of this flesh of sinless perfection. You have somebody walk around saying, it's been a week since I've sinned, it's been a month since I've sinned, it's been 10 years when I've sinned. They just sinned three times because they told three more lies, and no, you haven't, no, I haven't. But this chapter, there's a difference between, living in the new man and in the power of the new man, and as we are living in that new man, you know what, still having failings. But there's a difference between that and being yielded to that old man and having that old man have dominion in our life. Even the best of us, the best day you've ever had living in the new man, you know what? You still slipped up. You still failed. You know what, folks? I'm not talking about sinless perfection. But I'm also not talking about being dominated by sin and a servant of sin and a servant of iniquity. And so I crucify the flesh and I crucify that old man, and I'm not, but you know what? You know what? Some old man thoughts pop in from time to time. And I recognize that, and I grab my hammer and nails again. I go back and nail that rascal again. And listen, you know what? That old man still has failings. And I grab my nails and hammer. I go nail him back again. But folks, listen to me. I'm not talking about a Christian that's living their life trying to do right and messes up from time to time. And you know what? Just falls short. Just misses the mark. They're trying to hit the mark, but they miss the mark. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about too many Christians. You know what, folks? You've taken that new man and you've stuck him back in the tomb and you've put the rock in front of him and you've dragged out that old dead corpse. And that's what the old man is. I want you to get this picture in your mind. You want to grab that door for me? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Scared me a little there for a minute. Chad had his gun out. Well, you're okay. Afraid to start shooting at that door right there. So, we're good. I mean, that was the old man. Jerry Ross does not like this preaching. That old Jerry Ross just got up and, don't worry, I'll find you later. I'll nail you down. And, But he's there. Now you walk around acting like you don't have one, you're in trouble. Okay, because he's there. He's there every single day. And you know, one of the great things about dying one of these days is, you know, we'll drop this veil of flesh and we won't have this old man to deal with, but he's there. But you know what? I just made a decision at some point in my Christian life. He's not going to run the show. And he's not, listen, there's something called the power of the resurrection. And you know what? Listen, I want you to picture this, all right? I want you to see your old man crucified with Christ. And I want you to see they take that old man in a filthy flesh, and they come over and they put him in a tomb. And God wants to do a miracle. He wants to raise that up into a glorified new man, but that old man's still there. And I want you to think about this. I hope every day that you let the old man rule and reign in your life. I hope you picture yourself going back and moving that rock away and grabbing that old stinking dead corpse. I'm talking about maggots. I'm talking about filth. I'm talking about stink. I'm talking about corruption. And you're going to drag that thing out and drag it around, and you're going to let it tell you what you ought to think. And you're going to let it tell you what you think, where you ought to go and what you ought to wear and what kind of attitude you ought to have. I mean, honestly, listen, we can live in the power of the resurrection. There's a better way for a Christian to live than that. But you know what? He's there, and we all have to make a decision about each of our own lives. When Jesus rose from the dead, our new man rose with him. It's illustrated by baptism. This new man has at its disposal the power of the resurrection. What do you mean by that? Let me get specific. Your new man has the ability to reckon yourself dead and to sin by daily crucifying the old man. Your new man has the ability to declare yourself free from the power of sin and declare yourself instead a servant of righteousness. Your new man has the ability to never again return to the bondage of Satan or the service and dominion of sin in your life. There's two Jerry Rosses and there's two of you, and somebody's going to live your life out. And you've got to decide who it's going to be. I watch in the lives of young people, and I want you to know, young people, I'm so proud of you and I love you. And I'm not talking about one or two. I've been around here. I've watched these kids grow up. I've seen them go through phases. I've seen them go through struggle times. And you know what? I've watched times when I can tell the old man's kind of taken over. And you know what, folks, if we're not careful, come on, we pick up rocks and point, and oh my goodness, as if we've never had that time in our life. Come on, as if we've never had that time in our life. Now, it's sad, it's unfortunate, and young people, I'm not making excuses for you, and I'm not encouraging you to let it go on, but I'm just saying it's part of the human experience. But one of the things that you need to learn as quickly as you can is there's just no good that comes out of that. I mean, they're just not. I mean, you know, you can go out there and yell to sin, have pleasure for a season. You can get involved in all that. But you know what? You're just kind of dragging around this old stinking corpse. And you know what? Excuse me, but it kind of stinks and it smells and it's burdensome. It doesn't help you to do anything worthwhile. It's like an anchor you're dragging around. And you know what? When the old man comes on a young person, come on, I mean, there's been stretches in time in my teenage years where the old man was running the show. Let me tell you something. I was not a happy person during those times. And you tell you could see the countenance on my face. It was just different. I mean, you know what? The old man don't get excited about the things of God. The old man doesn't enjoy preaching. The old man doesn't enjoy singing. And I was telling, I think, Miss Amelia, when we were talking before the show, I said, you know, not only do y'all did a good job, I can tell you're having fun doing it. And you know what? That's when it gets good. You know what? You saw up here, for the most part, most of our young people, they brought the new man to the stage this morning. Amen. Amen. I mean, think about that. What about that? You know, hey, that's a good way to live. That's where you get to accomplish. Listen, the new man has nuclear potential. The new man is encumbered by the limitations of the old man. The new man is miraculous. It's a new creature. The new man has the ability to engage in spiritual things and see miraculous things happen and have eternal impact and accumulate divine rewards. And you know what? Every minute of your life that you spend letting that new man run the show, I'm gonna tell you something, you'll look back, it's the best part of your life. It's the best part of your life. And so here we see this struggle. Let me talk about the two Jerry Rosses. And that's what I look at. There's about a year and a half of my life when, you know what, I say, yeah, old Jerry Ross. Yeah, old Jerry Ross. Old Jerry Ross, stinking thinking, old Jerry Ross. You know, filthy desires, old Jerry Ross. Not excited about the things of God, old Jerry Ross. Just, you know what, run the show. Okay? Something wrong with everybody else. Yeah, I'm dragging around a corpse, a stinking maggot-infested corpse, but there's something wrong with everybody. You know, life stinks! I don't know why life stinks! You know, just dragging around the old flesh, trying to operate in the flesh. And you know what? Grieving the Holy Spirit of God. That's not how he wants a Christian to live. Even quenching the Spirit of God is, you know, just horrible. It's bad. Nothing. Honestly, I can't hardly point to anything. Good came out of that. I mean, you know what? There came a point in time where, thank God for his tenderness and his patience in my life, God began to really have some serious talks with me and conversations with me and said, okay, you really, this is what you want to be and this is what you want to do? I mean, this is the life you want to have? This is the person you want to run the show? Here's the Holy Spirit inside of me that has all the potential to energize that new man to do glorious things, glorified things, supernatural things, amazing things. And you know what? Because I'd rather drag around a corpse, nothing's getting done. Nothing's happening. And you know what, folks? There came a day where I just said to myself, I don't want to live like this. And by the way, you know what, young people, if you're not careful, you'll get a young person, young people, listen to me. I don't know what it is about immaturity, and it is immaturity. You got to face it. But it seems like when there's a teenager that drags out the corpse of the old man and starts flopping it around, for some reason other young people think it's cool or it's humorous. And you know what? I guess on a carnal level, it is a little bit for a while, but I'm going to tell you, it wears out pretty quick. Okay? And you know, I don't know why immaturity, but I don't know why we're impressed by that. And you know, anybody's got some sense, and I've even watched young people have enough sense to just kind of say, really? That's what you want to be? That's who you want to be? And I'm talking to every one of you. I'm talking to every one of you. Come on, if every one of you young people are honest, you say, preacher, in the last 2 years of my life, there's been times where the new man has been in charge, and I've really surrendered, and I crucified that thing, and I was living, and I'm doing stuff. And there's times and stretches and you know, instances and days where it just seems like good night, what in the world happened? I wish I could, listen, I want to say this, because I've watched this all, listen, 30 years of working with young people. I've watched young people have their old man days, and I wish I could videotape it. I wish you could see you. And then I've watched you get on the victory side and had those new man days, and I wish I could videotape it. Because you know what? If you watch those two clips, you know what you'd be convinced of? There is two of me. There's two of me. Okay, there's two of me. You know what? There's this old man that just doesn't want to do right. There's this old man that wants to fuss with mom and dad. There's this old man that wants to have a bad attitude. There's this old man that wants to, you know, go out. Listen, the old man likes the rock music. Hey, old Jerry Ross liked the rock music. Old Jerry Ross liked watching shows that fed the flesh. Old Jerry Ross liked reading books that empowered and strengthened that old man. And you're saying this out loud? Yeah, I'm saying it out loud. I need you to understand something. There's two of you. But that, you know what? That old man did. He wanted to go out and serve sin. He wanted to let sin have dominion in his body. He wanted to serve Satan. That's the old man. It's the corrupt. Listen, the old man was bent towards sin and bent towards evil. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Along with sin and the participation of it comes a lot of heartache and judgment. God takes the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, you want to shut down the Holy Spirit, so guess what? The fruits of the Spirit start disappearing out of your life, and where's the joy? Now, you know, come on. There's the new Jerry Ross, and you know what? As a teenager, when I got that straightened out, what are you talking about getting it straightened out? I'm talking about come down here to an altar and say, Lord, I need three nails and a hammer. Because this old Jerry Ross thing, he's dying. And I realize, Lord, I'm going to have to do this every day and maybe several times some days, but he's messed up enough in my life. He's stole enough happiness. He's stole enough joy. Okay? Why do I want to hang around with a bunch of other young people that are all dragging around corpses and stinking each other up and laughing and trying to convince ourselves how happy we are? Or why don't I just say, I'm going to take this thing and nail it to that cross right there. I'm going to put that thing up there. I'm going to nail. I'm getting rid of this. And I'm going to discover something called the power of the resurrection. Because I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. You ought to take, there's something you ought to put back in that tomb, and it ought to stay there. Because you know what? God didn't intend you to be raised from baptism to walk in the power of the old man. He expects you to be raised with baptism, live in newness of life. He wouldn't tell you to do that if it wasn't available to you. It is available to you. I don't know how much to share with you. Okay, does your old man ever talk to your new man? See, you reason everybody's uncomfortable because, see, you thought you were crazy. The difference between me and you is I knew I was crazy. It wasn't that scary for me. I knew I've lived in that neighborhood my whole life. So has your new man ever talked to your old man? See, preacher, I'm tired of my parents telling me what to do. Why don't you let your new man tell you what you do? You know what maturity is? Maturity is when mom and dad don't have to tell you what to do because your new man tells your old man, get up on the cross, we're nailing you, son. That's what maturity is. Hey, you know what? Listen, that's still my mama over there. And she told me at the lunch table, she said, Jerry, I was this close to walking up here on the stage when you're on that ladder and say, you get down, young man. And I wouldn't have been surprised if she did it, actually. Matter of fact, that could have been one of the funniest things that ever happened to Blessed Old Baptist. I'm almost wish she had. Hey, mama don't make me do the things I'm supposed to do anymore. Daddy don't make me. Daddy's in heaven. Okay? Mom and dad, I don't not do on my cell phone what I could do on my cell phone because mommy and daddy's making me. Okay, I don't watch videos on YouTube I shouldn't because mommy and dad's making me. I don't read my Bible because mommy and daddy drags me out of the bed, walks me down, and sits down and reads your Bible. And what I'm saying is, folks, somebody's going to take charge of this thing called your life sooner or later. And some of you, the old man, he's making a fool out of you. Come on, he's making a fool out of you. And you're letting your old man break mom and dad's heart. You're letting the old man, you know, rob you of every wonderful, great thing that God wants to do with you during this time in your life. And you know what? Listen to me. There's nobody that can save you from that but you and the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Jesus came out of that too. He defeated death. He crucified that old man on the cross. He's a defeated foe. Like the devil's a defeated foe, my old man is a defeated foe. The devil can't win anything unless I hand it to him. And that's what drives me crazy. But you know what? The old man can't win anything unless we hand it to him. So as a born-again Christian, you've got one of two choices. You can either drag that old dead corpse around, and it is a corpse, and sit around and laugh as loud as you want to laugh and roll in sin as much as you can roll in sin and hang around with other zombie corpses and talk about how much cooler you are than the new man crowd. And just live your life and stink up the world and stink up your testimony and send people to hell. Or you kid could come to an altar tonight and get 3 nails and a hammer and say, you know what, I ain't doing that no more. You know what, let everybody say what they want to say. Okay, by the way, you'll find out who your new real friends are the day that you do decide to publicly crucify that old. You're going to find who your real, I said you'll find out who your real friends are. Well, so-and-so won't be my friend anymore. What you don't know is they're not your friend now. That's what it takes. Let me read this and we'll conclude. The Lord used Paul to write these words in Philippians. Let me give you this. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless. I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found, where? In him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he wrote these beautiful words, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Preacher, how do you do it? You do it through the power of the resurrection. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for explaining this. Taking Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, we surely didn't do them justice, and just explaining to us the source of our frustration, explaining to us the days where it seems like we can't win, we just can't win. The discouragement that comes from that, the hopelessness, sometimes the surrender. Preacher, I've tried, I just can't. And I think Paul said, oh, who shall deliver me from this wretched man? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of the flesh? And Lord, we've all faced that. Thank you for taking some chapters, and Lord, may we read them this week. Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7. May we pray over them. May we understand there's two of us. There's two of us. Somebody's going to run this thing. Somebody's going to run the show. Somebody's going to get crucified while the other one lives. And I pray, Lord, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, for all the advantages that you offer, for all of the eternal impact that we can have, for all of the folks that could be saved and helped, for all the good that could come, dear Lord, I pray that you would help us to have the character and the love in our hearts for what you've done for us, to just pick up those nails and that hammer and say, I'm done with this. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Help us to have that victory day in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's